So we've spent the last several weeks remembering the covenants that God made with Noah, with Abram and Sarai, and with the Hebrew people, and with us. Last week, we read how God gave the covenant, the 10 words, or 10 commandments, at Mount Sinai. And the people at that time said they would do everything the Lord had spoken. After that, the Israelites went on their way and soon found that doing what they had committed to do was actually a lot harder than just saying it. As they traveled, learning how to put God's word into action, how to live as the community God called them to be, how to trust God, the whole generation that had come out of Egypt died. And the new generation grew up in the wilderness. After 40 years out there, God brought the people into the promised land. And the book of Joshua tells that story of battles and conquests and settling the land. Today, we read at the end of the book of Joshua about the gathering of the elders and other leaders of the people at the end of this time frame when everyone was settling down and living at least somewhat peacefully for a time. Joshua, who followed Moses as the leader of the Hebrew people, he was the leader as they entered the promised land. He's now giving a farewell speech to the Israelites at the end of his life. It's a retelling of their story, a challenge to live in the ways God had called their ancestors and now called them to live. Much of Joshua's speech is relaying God's telling of the history of the people. So I don't think it's any accident that Joshua has summoned them to this place, to Shechem, for this covenant renewal. You may remember from way back in the fall when we started our Remember series that Shechem is the place that Abram first worshiped God in Canaan. In celebration of the covenant God made to make Abram's descendants a great people who would live in that land and be the source of blessings for all nations. Here, in that holy place, the people are reminded that their story is God's story. You see, Joshua realized that our perspective changes when we tell our story with God at the center instead of us being at the center. Recounting the stories of the past, especially remembering the presence of God in them, can also give us a view of a faithful future. Sometimes we can only see God's activity in hindsight. So remembering what happened in the past and discerning God's activity in it can give us a better perspective on the present and the future. Now, I don't mean to say that remembering should be a rosy recasting of the golden past. Everything was better back then. That's not what happened here. Joshua starts this retelling with a very strong statement about the people's own ancestors, including Abram, who didn't always serve God. We have this tendency to see our heroes as perfect, which they almost never are. Despite Genesis working very hard to cast Abraham in an honest light, there are still these stories, right? They tell us about Abram telling people more than once that Sarah was his sister, not his wife, his willingness to sacrifice his own. So there are many things that are disturbing in Abram's story. But it's easy for us to remember him for where he ended up rather than where he came from. And here, Joshua is reminding the people that Abraham wasn't always the friend of God that they know, but grew up worshiping other gods from beyond the river. There's a reason he does that. If Father Abraham wasn't immune to worshiping other false gods, then who do you think that you are? Who are you to think you can avoid that? Is the implication. This is the kind of brave remembering that God requires of us. Remembering our faults, the faults of those who have come before us, so that we can be reminded in the present of those dangers. If we're to choose to follow God, we must know what it is that we are choosing. Every day, is a chance to seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness and let everything else fall into place behind it. Don't be fooled. Not choosing, well, that's a choice. Each generation, each person has the opportunity to rise to the occasion, to learn from the mistakes and the examples of the past, and truly serve the Lord. And God is ever faithful, ever more ready to receive us than we are even to return. I'm grateful for those who have come before us so that we can learn from both the example they gave us and sometimes from the mistakes that they made. Because like the Israelites, it's important for us to remember our place in God's story, to remember those who have come before us so that we may choose correctly when it's time to declare that we will choose to serve God. After all, as Maya Angelou said, if you don't know where you come from, you don't know where you're going. I'd like for us, during worship today, to take a few moments to consider both where we've come from and where we're going. It's especially appropriate that we do so today on All Saints Sunday. Because when we remember those who came before us and follow in their path, we too are remembered, rebuilt, renewed. We're given wisdom to know how to serve the Lord, learning from both their faithfulness and their mistakes. So I'm going to ask you to do some reflection today. You may want to close your eyes so as not to be distracted. Sit comfortably. Hear these words from Psalm 145. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. God's greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. I want us to reflect on the verse, one generation commends your works to another. I'd like for you to imagine a line of people, a line of about 200 people. How long would that be? Perhaps imagine the line inside this building and how far it would stretch. You find yourself towards the end of the line. The people in front of you are the generations of Christians since Christ's death and resurrection. Right at the front, there's Peter, Mary Magdalene, Paul. They're followed by Timothy and the rest of the second generation Christians. Right in front of you are the people who told you about Jesus, who led you to faith. Imagine the faces in this line of people, starting with Christians from the Middle East. The missionaries sent from Rome. The church planters sent to this country. leaders from before you were born, each telling the next person, one generation commends your works to another. Imagine what each of those generations must have gone through throughout the ages. The adventures, the suffering, the breakthroughs, the hard work. All to bring the church to a place where you can sit in this building, in this service of worship, bringing the thanksgiving and the prayers of your generation to Christ. Think about the issues of your generation, the struggles in your own life. Imagine the line of Christians in front of you, in whose footsteps you tread. Did anyone live the struggles you lived through? Did anyone else face the evil that your generation faces? Imagine these faithful witnesses who have clung to Christ through trouble and suffering. What might they say to you? See yourself in this long line of Christians, where one generation commends God's works to another. Draw strength from your unity with these witnesses. These are the servants making up the church, your siblings in Christ. Give thanks for their faithful service to Christ. Now, imagine casting a glance backwards over your shoulder in this line of generations of Christians. Think about who is following in your footsteps. Who can you see following behind you? You might want to pray for someone who can see in your mind's eye that they too may stand faithfully through struggles and temptation. You may want to commit to God to commend him to the next generation somehow. Let's spend some time here and see what God is saying to you and respond to the nudges the Spirit provides. As we bring this reflection to a close, let's pray. Thank you, God, for those who speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. We will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell the power of your awesome works.